All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa!
And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
R&B money. We up. Tank Valentine. We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
This is the R&B Money Podcast,
yeah.
The authority on all things R&B. Yesterday and today. We are a current R&B conglomerate.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? Absolutely.
We know what's going on with the youth.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Put F on that. You understand what I'm saying? It works.
Okay.
I like to call this person one of the leaders of the new school.
I'd agree.
Wavy beyond waves. I've seen her at work. She's a problem. Yeah. And I like it. Ladies and gentlemen in the building, give it up for Josh right now.
Yeah.
Right now. Jazzy, I want to say this.
Wow, that was beautiful.
I want to say this. It's good to meet you, right? And let me explain that. Not as in meeting you for the first time, but it is good to meet you. In meeting you, I was like, oh my God. She's so dope.
Wow. You always said it. This is
no, this is
always said
consistent. Yeah. In meeting you, I was like, wow.
No, amazing energy.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was like, you my love one off top. I wish a nigga would. Bout Jazzy.
Thank you.
And as you say consistency, that's you. You're consistent in your presence, in your demeanor, in your work ethic. Every time. And that's why we're talking about you.
Yeah.
That's why they're talking about you. It's why you've done the things that you've done and are doing the things that you're going to do.
Thank you.
That's why, I see you.
Oh,
I
see you. Looking at the fit.
You know, she's a little light. Yeah. First of all, let me say something.
Yeah.
She gonna have the shit on.
You know? Yeah, you know? All times.
It's like every time.
All time.
I think that's what's so good about like being like an R&B artist. Like it was fashion too. Everything was just the whole aesthetic of being an R&B nigga was just like, I love that.
Yeah.
Like I love when I used to see like Carl Thomas in his fur, like the talk. You know, yeah. I love to see Donnell Jones in his glasses and his black turtleneck. Yeah. Like that was just fly. Like even with you, I told Tank, bro, don't wear no shirt, bro. I told Tank, don't come. Why? This is the show. Take the shirt off and oil up. That's an aesthetic.
He know that I'm not coming.
He's not gonna sit right there.
Nah,
if he gotta look across
yeah.
to see.
It, yeah, nah, that's okay. Nah, okay, I get it. On, I respect it. I don't see that.
You know, we be in that place getting to it. We be in flex. You know,
yeah,
acting a fool. You know what I'm saying?
And I don't like y'all like that. So we don't like each other like that. So I can look at you and be like, yeah, you look good. Boy, look good. I can give you.
I don't like you.
Like, so you can look good and, you know, it's nothing like, You know what I'm saying? It ain't a with it. Boy, look good.
Hilarious.
It's crazy. Y'all heard y'all niggas lifting weights together and shit now.
Yeah, yeah, Gaines, you know, Gaines got us on the program.
Yeah, nah, literally just changing my life around.
Yeah.
I love going to the gym. I didn't realize that I was going to really enjoy seeing. I like seeing the aftermath and the results, man. I'm a result person.
Yeah.
That's why it even took me a minute to come to R&B Money, because I was like, I don't got enough results. I ain't ready. I don't got enough points on the board and my odds to be around you all, because I really look at you all at a high level. So that's why I was afraid to come here. But, you know, now I'm here. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're supposed to be here.
Yeah, I want you to say that. Like yeah. While you're in it, even with everything that you've done, right, at a high level, but while you're in it, you know, I think it's important for us. You know what I mean? It's weird to say elders, but this is crazy.
Nah, y'all not the elders.
Well, I mean, y'all elder just, statesmen.
I like being out.
As unks. Here we go.
I think y'all just legends.
As cool. Unks in this shit, it's important to shine that light.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to shine that light on you.
Thank
if you don't know, now you know.
For yeah. sure. For
you understand
sure.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the legacy continues with you. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we play our part in our pieces, but listen, we here, we throwing coals on the fire.
Yeah.
That's love. Yeah.
That's the reason why we have the platform.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I mean, obviously, we're going to have, you know, legends and new legends and people who have been a part of the music business for a long time and people who are starting out and people who are just accomplished. But most importantly for us, it's about what we respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's why when I ran into you and you said that to me, and I was like, no, you've been ready. I've been loving records you've done. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I can call out your records, that means I respect what you've done.
Sweet.
You know what I mean? So to us, it doesn't, we don't look at it that way.
Real.
Like, we understand what you're saying. We don't look at that at that way because we know how hard it is to get these accomplishments. And, you know, like, I don't even respect when people have those conversations about one-hit wonders. Well, that's one more hit than you may ever have in your life.
And I'm so glad I got my big hit out the way. So I don't got to worry about that.
You got a very big,
I don't
got to
worry about that.
Listen,
my
so we go, before we even get
before
to that.
We get there,
yeah. You got a fucking
I'm
smash.
Good. You know what I said? I got mine out the way early.
Let's
chill now.
Let's get to Lil Jazzy.
Let's go back to Memphis.
Let's go back to Memphis where it all began. Give me the beginnings. Give me the upbringing.
Yeah, so born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee, literally my mom was a teacher, but my mom used to be in a group. She used to be signed to High Records with Willie Mitchell. She used to go on tour with Ann Peebles and Syl Johnson and Al Green. So my mom had a group called Janet and the Jays back in the 60s. They had a song on the Billboard, on the charts. Like, they was doing good. They had a song called Love What You Doing to Me. And but my mom had to, like, my dear, she always told me, my dear, she had to choose either the secular world or, back in the day, you had to choose a secular world or you gonna go to sing in church.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, Willie Mitchell, like, let her out her contract and she just started singing in church. And then, I was born, but my brother, who's my older brother, he was an artist back in Memphis. Like, he was in his group called Children of the Corn. And he was like, it was like them Skinny Pimp, 3-6 Mafia, one of the first rappers who, like, so this is like my life. This is what I'm around.
Right.
So, like, always, like, All the rap guys used to be at my crib, like smoked out. My mama not there. But then my brother got locked up. And I think this is what changed my life. I was like 4 years old. And when he got locked up, I went in his room. I remember that. I remember 4 years old. I remember like it was yesterday. I went in his room. I took all his CDs and cassettes and I snuck them under my bed. And at 4 years old, I had the keys to every access to music that kids don't have access to. So like at a young age, I took all my brother's stuff and I just took it and I played it on my Fisher Price thing, headphones, and just listening. And I promise you, like, I just absorbed so much music. But like, that's kind of like the bulk of where I started. And just like, my brother was locked up for like 8-10 years. So like, in between that, my whole life was dedicated to showing him that I could be, yo, I want to do what you couldn't have done. Cause he was about to blow.
Yeah.
You know, he was about to be one of them dudes in Memphis. But literally, even Project Pat shot my brother out in Mr. Don't Play. Like, he shot him. I was like, yeah, that's my brother.
Yeah. Mr. Don't Play?
Yeah, Mr. Don't Play album. Yeah, my brother Lord Tariq. Shout out to my bro John. I love you, bro. But yeah, that's so dope. Like, that's kind of where it started. So my mom's always supportive of me doing music because she wanted to do it. And I was just doing a few talent shows. I think my first, probably when I was 11 years old, I wrote my first song. I remember that.
What was it called?
Falling in Love. I ain't know nothing about love. I remember that shit too.
Was it weak? Like, but you had heard so many love songs, yeah, buddy.
Keep it funky though. Was it weak?
It was good.
You know, some niggas be like, yeah, man, I've been good for the. Listen, my first song was trash.
My first song was called That Was Cold.
That was cold. Hey, bro, yo, listen, you had confidence.
It was a heartbreak song.
You had confidence, bro.
Yeah.
And so, like, but that was just kind of like my whole gist. Like, I always wanted to be a songwriter. Even in high school, I remember I went to Germantown and the talent show, like, I'm in my ninth grade year. This girl wanted me to, she wanted to do the talent show. And she was like, I was like, I'll write the song. And literally, she won the talent show. And no, but then I kind of got tight. I was like, yo, niggas, she won Musically Inclined. I was like, hold on. I was thinking on the yearbook, and I was just like, yeah, nah, this don't parallel. I
mean, hey, that's funny.
That was when I realized that being a service, you probably not gonna have all the love and the support.
Being a service.
Wow. Yeah, being a service to somebody, you may not have all the love that you want and mm-hmm. the respect that you think you deserve. So, but I was still, like, honing on my craft, you know what I'm saying? But that was like the first time I realized in high school, Germantown, that, oh yeah, this is, what? That was ugly. But yeah, so, you know what I'm saying?
Were you getting love in your high school as a songwriter?
Mad love. I was playing tennis, actually, though. I was actually playing tennis. Yeah, I got a tennis scholarship and everything. I was cold.
What?
Yeah, I played tennis in high school.
I got a pickleball court in the back.
You know what this pickleball shit.
This something new, right? Everybody been talking about it, right?
It's like, it's for like non-athletes that people always wanted to play tennis.
This is the bullshit. Yeah. Okay. I'm an athlete.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's weird. You the fuck be like floating in the air. Shit.
First of all, it's weird. All sorts of people play pickleball.
It's like ping pong with some big ass.
You can actually be too athletic.
First of all, pickleball is there's a lot of skill involved.
Yeah.
A lot of athleticism involved.
Stop this shit.
Okay.
Is the court this big?
It's not that big. It's a full tennis court. It's just certain areas that the ball can go in.
Lies.
Folks behind you shaking their head.
Pickleball. You was playing tennis. You was cold.
Yeah, playing tennis. But, you know, I still love music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, music was just always in my bloodstream. Literally, when I was in high school, I was working at this studio in Memphis. This is where I kind of got my name as Jazzy.
What were you doing at the studio?
I was writing songs for all the trap niggas. Brown Pepper Bag Money. You want hooks? Give me some.
You going to the studio was just you saying, I need to be in here.
Yes.
I'm not getting paid nothing.
I was getting paid.
Oh, you was getting paid?
I was getting paid because...
No, I'm just saying, if you didn't place nothing, you wasn't getting paid.
No, I wasn't getting paid. But the thing is, like, So, you know, DJ Lil Larry, he's Yo Gotti's right hand man. Mm-hmm. He had this thing called Trap House. And mm-hmm. it's Trap House Umega. It's like everybody was in this studio. This was like 2009 to 2000. And it got rated 2011. And it was the saddest day of my life.
Once they rated the studio, it's over.
It's over. Yeah. And like, I was in school literally, but like, I used to get mad. But I used to get like $500, $1,000 for all the pimps. Who want to turn their life around and be a rapper, I would be there. I met Young Jock there. I met Rocco there. Like, Young Dolph used to be there before Dolph was, like, really Dolph. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So we was all just, you know, I was just a kid in high school around all these folks. You know what yeah. I'm saying? And literally, like, one day I got a call. I'm about to go. They say, do not pull up to the studio, bro. This shit is getting raided right now. And, like, it was on the news. My mama like, what you, this ain't this the.
I'm this
like,
is where you be.
Oh my God. It was just like, it was just crazy.
Yeah.
I cried. I was sick. Yeah. I was really sick because that's all we had in Memphis was the Trap House. Like if anybody knows about Memphis and like around that time from like 2008 to 2011, 12, like that was all we had. That was it. And so like, I was super depressed. Didn't know what I was going to do in my life. I was in school. Didn't want to be at school in college, and didn't want to be in high school. I had to go to college the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Hated it.
Yeah,
but God, man, I'm telling you.
Did you go on your tennis scholarship?
I went on my tennis scholarship.
You went to college on tennis scholarship.
Yeah, UT. I went to college on my tennis on my scholarship. Man, like I was cold. Stop playing with me. I was cold. I don't know. Somebody got to have some footage somewhere.
Yeah, we definitely need
my mama that. Didn't come to none of my games. It's so bad.
Oh, shit.
You know how your mama do? Like, but to her offense, she was an English teacher.
We have that in common.
Yeah, mama, she just
all
like.
Of us. Oh, yeah. My mom was at work and my daddy thought basketball was bullshit.
Yeah, my pop.
He's like, usually just selling dope or doing music. That's it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Nah, so nobody came to my games to record nothing, which is crazy. You know what I'm saying? That was just me. But literally, it was a. I think thanks to Trap House, I had got connected with my boy Bug and Web of the Machine. They worked at the studio at Trap House, and they linked me with this producer from VA who was signed to Timbaland, and his name was Wisdom. Mm-hmm. And Wiz was looking for a songwriter, and literally he called me. He met me on Twitter. We DM'd each other. Yeah, like he was like, yo, I heard you cold in Memphis, you know what I'm saying? I need a writer. And I was like, yes.
You were way at college at this point.
I came back from UT Chat to come back to U of M because some family situation happened. I had to come back home. So I went to school at U of M.
Oh, so you went to the University of Memphis?
Yeah,
too.
I went to Memphis, yeah. Okay. I went to Chat 1 year. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I came back, like it was too much stuff going on. I had to come back. And like you, if you know anything about Chattanooga and Memphis, they do not. We don't get along. Like Chattanooga, like at the time when you went to UT Chat, everybody wanted to fight. It was just bad. Like I had a roommate got ran over. It was bad. Like it was just like you can't walk off the campus because you about to like you can't. You got to stay on the campus.
Just beef between the two schools.
It's beef. No, not the schools. It's beef between
the cities.
The city don't like Memphis niggas. They just think we just. Bougie, uppity, you know.
Yeah, but, that happens in every, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was just kind of crazy. I had to get up out of UT Chat because there was a lot of stuff going on. But went back home, did University of Memphis. I'm leaving school. This was 2012. Got a call from Wiz, and Wiz was like, yo, can you fly to Miami for a week? I need you. I went home. I begged my parents. My pop was like, yep, you can go. And I went out there, and I stayed there for 6 years, and that was it. That was the start of like who Jazzy was.
You was supposed to be for a week.
A week. I was supposed to be there for a week.
6 years.
Yeah, from 2012 to 2018. Yeah.
How did you fund that?
Whew. Yeah, let's talk about survival. Yeah.
Survival. I ain't gonna front. My pop blessed me. My pop was like, yo, this is what he said. He said, yo, this is how he was like, yo, since I ain't paying for your college. This is your college.
That's dope.
He was like, I'm giving you 4 years to make it. If you're doing 4 years and junt, all right, this is what we're gonna do. You know what I'm saying? So kind of like that was him.
Shout out to Dad.
That was his. My pop.
What's your dad's name?
John. My pop is cold. My pop is super cold.
Shout out to John.
So my pop was like, He was, and I just think he just saw, like, he saw it in me. He knew who his daughter was, and I'm just like him. Like, I'm cold, like, I'm just, in so many ways. So he was like, you know, if this is what you want to do, this is what you're going to do. Now, like, I struggled. Like, I couldn't live the life that I wanted. Yeah, I was broke. Yeah. Like, he didn't give me a lot of money.
He made sure you had somewhere to live.
No, well, no. No. So when I, no. He just gave me money for gas and good stuff like that. It was good. Like, I was blessed for that. But, like, so Wiz got a pub deal because he did Up, Up, and Away for Lil Wayne. And he did a few other songs. And like I said, he was with Timbaland. So I'm around Timbaland. I think they had a house in Opa-locka, and they let us stay there. I'm in Opa-locka. So we were staying there, and then we had to start paying rent on it. But, like, for a few months, we was just staying there. And so Wiz, like I said, he really, like, he took me under his wings and was like, yo, he was, like, my big bro. So he was like, yo, boom, like, let's just cook. We were supposed to be, like, the new Tim and Missy. Mm-hmm. That was our whole mind frame. I'm going to write the songs, you're going to produce. And, like, literally, like, Tim and Missy just, like, took us under their wings. I met Missy. And she was like, yo, come stay with me. And boom, I stayed with Missy for a few weeks. Stay her, you know? So it was just kind of like a learning experience.
Missy just say, come stay with me.
Yeah, nah. She let me come.
The gift will take you places.
But absolutely, it will make room for you.
Nah, bro, like literally Missy, I remember my 21st birthday, like she got me shit face. I remember that, but I learned so much from Missy being, you know, in that situation. But as far as having money, nah, bro, literally like we was faking it till we made it, bro. I would pull up. I would take Wiz's Jeep, take it to South Beach, get girls, bring them to the studio. And we vibing at the studio. It's like Hit Factory. I'm talking about Hit Factory in 2013, 14. It was just a different time. It was like popping. Everybody was there. Like you had like, that's how I met Wayne. You had the Cash Money over there. You would have Carrie Hilson in one room. Polo the Don would be in the next room. Bieber would be upstairs with like, it was, what is James Posner? I was a huge James Posner fan at the time. James Posner. He was an amazing songwriter. And I was like, no, James Posner's upstairs. You know, I was just like such a kid and like just wanted to just be around all of this. And literally, I didn't make no songs. Like literally.
You said you didn't make no songs?
No songs. But we probably, because like we had to sneak studio time. So like think about, this is when, around the time when Timbaland was kind of, that was after the Promiscuous Girl, after the Sexy Back. So he was in it was a weird time for him in that little time. But he was always in the studio. So like we only could work when niggas went to sleep.
Right.
Like, so I'm talking about we would be in the studio till 4 a.m. I'm like just, and that was how I became a people, like a person to just everybody know. Cause I was like, you know, if I ain't working, niggas gonna know who I am.
Yeah.
So I started going out. I started like hitting Miami like super tomboy stud, like the only one in Miami, and I'm in all the clubs. Niggas is like, oh, no, let her in. Like, because I had to figure out, like, I'm not working. So let me go outside and, you know, use this.
Build some equity in just a different space.
In the network, you know, build my network. Yeah. But literally, I would come back to the studio. Wiz is still there banging on beats. I was like, nigga, you have fun with that. I'm not just gonna sit here and not work. You know what I'm saying? But like we would like 5 or 6 a.m. we would get in and work, and that was kind of like where I started honing on my craft. But like it was a weird time. Literally, we would just be in the room, just being like flies on the wall when so and so walks in or Kanye walks in. We just there and just not being able to work. It was just, I hated it. I hated that. Like, I guess it was artist development of like growing who you are, but. Bro, I hated that shit. Like, just sitting there and like, yo, hey, I'm the one.
You just want to get in.
I'm cold. Like, you should try me.
Yeah.
No, it's tough waiting on your turn.
Bro. Mm-hmm.
That's not, people, and some people don't have the patience for it.
Yeah.
And fuck up a lot of opportunities jumping out there, trying to prove that they the one. Because like you said, you already knew who you were, and you knew what you will become, and you knew, like, I can compete.
Bro, yes.
But it wasn't your time.
Yeah, it wasn't my time.
And meaning... that place wasn't your time either, because that shit wasn't booked for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing. People don't understand
etiquette,
industry etiquette, right? Mm. I've had plenty of, you know, who may be dope writers come in there that came with somebody else that keep trying to throw words in.
I hate those people.
Like, if you don't get the fuck out of here.
Bro, I tell one of my boys, bro, yeah, you got to get him out of there, bro. Like, you doing a lot. I'm quick to be like, bro, come on, bro. Like, I'm not, like, I hate that.
But they don't understand that, though. It's not, it's just ignorance to it. More so than it's about them being disrespectful. Yeah. They just don't even know. Yeah. They thinking, oh, I'm here now.
Yeah.
Shit, let me show them my talent.
I remember one session, you know Jim Beans?
No.
Jim Beans was, he did a lot of vocal production for, like, he did, like, the Promiscuous. He did all of that shit. Like, the, and he did also the Empire. But Jim Beans is one of the first people who made me feel comfortable in the studio. Like, literally, I walked in the first day off the plane, actually coming to Miami. I walked into this session he was working on. And he was like, you want to write? And I just sat there. I was quiet. I just sat and paid attention. I wasn't trying to, like, overstep boundaries. And he just looked at me and was like, you want to help me write? I was like, wow, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I just thought that moment was so dope because he like, let me into his world. Because I'm like, this is Jim Beans. Like, he did Carrie. He was, I know everybody. I'm a Super Friends fanatic. Like, I know everything about Timbaland and Missy. Static. If you ask me any questions about how they started, I know everything about these guys. I studied Missy. I studied Tim. I studied Magoo. I love these niggas. Like, so it was almost like I knew who Jim Beans was. So it was just like, oh my God. And just those moments where just people just want to, like, include you. Those are the times that I just, because I wasn't going to include myself.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made Raisin's dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me!
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I went to Missy's house, she has a studio in her house. So now I can just wake up in the morning and work.
Get to it, yeah.
And the thing about Missy, ain't nobody coming in and out of her house. So you have to teach yourself how to record. So I had to learn Pro Tools, and I'm so glad. I learned how to record myself thanks to Missy. She taught me a valuable thing because working with Wiz, I didn't know. I thought I had to write to all his beats because he's my producer. Even if I didn't like it, I was like, I can't stand this beat. But I'm going to write to it because it's my partner. You know what I'm saying? And she was chewing him out like, nigga, this ain't it. Nigga, this ain't good. She's like, nah. She was eating Wiz up. Because she was trying to like, yo, she's like, this is what I do to Timbaland. Like, you know how many times I told Timbaland, nah, nigga, this ain't it. She's like, Jazzy, she was like, you don't got to write to every song, every beat because it's in your face. Like, if a producer give you one beat and you don't like it, be like, yo, play some more beats. You don't have to write. And I was like, word? Like, I didn't know that. I thought that, oh, this is the beat. Oh, this is so-and-so. This is a big producer, so yeah. He knows. But no, like, sometimes you may have to challenge your producer and be like, nah, this ain't it. What else you got? It ain't it for me. You know what I'm saying? So Missy taught me that. Like, and after that, I was quick to tell a nigga, yeah, let me play another one.
But I think your, I think your reverence for the craft in the beginning, you know, had you developing something that you probably weren't realizing you were developing. Just being ready for whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't like the beat, but... All right, I want
to,
yeah.
No, because it's two sides to that. It's two sides to that because, I mean, the reps in itself gives you an opportunity to better yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the better, you know what I mean? Like, for when that right record does come.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, as many people say they know in this shit.
No one really knows.
Nobody don't know. Yeah. We don't know. It could be something that we can play in the car every day and think is the greatest song in the world.
That's crazy.
And nobody gives a fuck. Yeah. And then on the flip side, it could be that throwaway record.
That motherfucking throwaway.
That's crazy.
And nigga be like, the world loves it.
Did you have a throwaway joint that people like, that
Please
you
don't
thought,
go.
For real? Are you serious?
And nigga was fast with it too.
Throwaway.
You lying. That wasn't your...
Like four or five artists passed on it, just sitting there. I had one more day left in the studio that was paid for.
Yeah.
And I was like, I recorded all the songs I wanted to record. They was like, well, you got one more day, so whatever you want to do. I was like, I got this one beat. I'm going to record this one right here. Record that song. My nigga Lonnie come through. What you working on, dog? I'm like, this bullshit. You want to do the hook? Want to do the bridge? He do the bridge. I'm like, all right. I'm going to just try to sing with the rest of it. Niggas call me 2 days later. Nigga, you did it. I was like, which one, nigga? I start naming all sorts of records. They're like, nah, nigga. Nah. This Please Don't Go shit. I said, what?
Yo, that's
Are you sure?
That's
Are you sure?
Are you sure, guys? Yo. Mind you, I wrote and produced the whole thing, but I was still like, it's just kind of trash. You sure?
That's crazy. Like,
I watched that song go from 3 spins to 3,000 spins to 6,000. I was in the office every day like, what's going on? They're like, it's happening.
You got a hit record?
You have a hit record.
What?
I watched us come out and sell more records than everybody.
What you thought was the hit on that joint?
On Sex, Love, and Pain?
Yeah. Which one did you go with?
Everything was crazy.
No, but which one was you going to go with over Please Don't Go? I was just curious. Like,
I mean, we had Wedding Song on there.
Yeah, Wedding Song.
That would have been crazy. We eventually went with Heartbreaker, but Heartbreaker was on there. I was kind of into my tempo bag, so I was thinking maybe the coldest would have some play.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, we put out this coldest thing. I would be dancing a little bit. I'd already, fucked up a video dancing and shit. But I was willing to try.
You willing to fuck up another one? So
I was willing to fuck
it's
up
mine.
Another one. It's mine.
That one up too.
That's hilarious. That's crazy. Like, amazing.
It was my body. Like, it was so many joints.
There's joints on that fucking
The album. Label was like, nah, trust me. this is it. And them motherfuckers was
shout out to the A&R. Cause I wish, like, there's no A&R. I don't, it's scary. A&R is a, some, there's a few dope ones, but like, shout out to that A&R who,
well, here's who, like, the thing from those days. Like, your executive was the fucking A&R in those days.
Yeah.
That's nigga, hard. Barry Hankerson knew music. Like, sure. he wasn't no lawyer or mm-hmm. no, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He knew music. You know what I'm saying? He was with the Winans. He was with
true.
Gladys Knight. You know what I'm saying? Him, R. Kelly, Aaliyah.
Yeah.
So like, this nigga knew music. When we put out Freaky as my first single, don't look that up. and shit went bad. He listened to the project, listened to all the songs, and he called me in the office. He said, don't worry about it. I'm going to take control from here. We're going to change your life. I was like, I don't know what that means, but do what you do. He said, this is the song.
That's crazy.
And
wow.
he picked Maybe I Deserve.
Wow.
And here
rest
I am.
Rest is history.
Rest is history. So we miss those executives who understand music.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. bad right now.
Because now it's numbers. Now it's analytics. Yeah. Now it's chasing it's the after fact.
It's baseball.
That's
it's baseball.
Sure.
Yeah, you
for
know
sure.
what I mean? It's absolutely an analytic game, and that ain't no, there's no heart
mm-hmm.
in analytics. It's just numbers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you don't feel it, because that's all this shit is, I'm not replaying a song I did not feel.
Right, bro.
I don't give a fuck what nobody else tell me. Well, I didn't feel it personally. It's just mm-hmm. me, my feeling. Oh, this is going to be the biggest record. That's cool. It's cool. Y'all push whatever button you think you're going to push. And it may work.
Yeah.
I'm willing to stand behind and stand in front of what feels good to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
That was one thing, talking about Missy, I didn't have structure in my songs. My songs, I really didn't know. You know, that's one thing I love about Max Martin. It's a Max Martin structure. You know you're going to get the AA. You're going to get the ABA. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a pop structure. You're going to get the hook. Big hook off the on the bot on the down beat. I didn't know none of that. So I was shit was just melodies and feeling, and she was just like loving it. And I was, and she never really told me how to structure a song
because she didn't want to put those barriers.
She didn't.
In your brain.
She didn't, bro.
Yeah.
She didn't. Yeah. And like that's one thing I learned. I know like about me, like what helped me. She was like, yo, she wanted me to keep that feeling. She wanted me to keep that substance and just, and I'm really a student, bro. I love to learn. Like, I still love to learn. If you can't teach me nothing in the room, I'll be like, I'm out. Like, I'm ready to go to the club and chill.
Yeah.
Like, real talk. If I don't learn nothing, like, I want to learn everything and soak up. So just being around Missy, she taught me. She taught me without telling me. Like, nah, this is where the hook's supposed to go. This, that. I learned that just really just being around just greats. Just
mm-hmm.
being in rooms and being a fly on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody really just taught me how to write a song. I had to just learn from, oh, shit, Sean Garrett is in with Timbaland. Let me see what he's doing. Oh, he's very pop, like, with his shit. So, okay. Oh, that's where he goes. Oh, so the hook is higher than the pre-hook. So I got to go higher on the pre-hook, on the hook than the pre-hook. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Just
I
was little shit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah shit that I didn't
up.
Know.
The build,
you know, the build up. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know. You know, it's just everything felt good.
Right.
So. Like, my whole life was just literally learning. I was, like, just in school of, like, learning this shit. I didn't get paid until...
You got paid at the Trap House.
Yeah, I got paid at
the
Trap House.
You got paid at the Trap House. Let's not forget Trap House. Shout out to the Trap House.
That money was gone when I got to Miami.
Of course
that shit was done. What? Because I thought I was going to get some more.
I was about to say that because we always think it's more on the way.
I thought it was going to be more on the way. I was on the way to the studio. Yeah, who need a hook?
Who in there right now?
Okay,
I know from him. That's 1,000 from him.
Oh, geez.
Juju, I know he promised me 4,000 the other night because he needs
that's what it was, bro.
Okay, I can spend this. Yeah, give me those. Give me both of those.
Nah, that's what I'm saying.
But you had a different kind of hunger.
That
for this shit in order to digest that information.
Yeah.
Like you have to have a hunger for that.
Everybody's not willing to learn.
Everybody's not, and everybody can't sit in those sessions or sit in those places and figure out what they're doing there if they're not working. They'll be sitting there and everybody, this shit ain't cracking. Ain't no hoes in here, nigga. I'm out. But to be able to sit there and say, you might have sat through the whole session and be like this. It wasn't until the transition out of the second verse into the second hook that you said, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Facts. And that's what you needed to go to that next place that you're going to go to.
Yes, because
as a creative.
No, agree, bro, because I'm telling you, at the time when I was around Timbaland, he was doing real pop songs. And I remember the day like it was yesterday, they brought Bryson Tiller in the studio. This is before Bryson dropped Trap Soul. Mm-hmm. They was like, yo, you need to sign this dude. Tim was like, nah. And I looked at Wiz and I was like, that nigga is cold. Bryson Tiller. So he was playing all the shit that he was about to drop.
Yeah.
Like the don't. Yeah. He was playing. He's
playing it all.
And I was just like, oh, this shit is so cold. So me and Wiz said, yo, we finna start this shit called 2090s R&B. So the 20 in the 90s, the 2000s, you know what I'm saying? And then the 90s of the R&B. So we was like, yo, we're going to just do R&B like the way we like it. And literally we started making songs that sounded like classic Aaliyah, classic, Total. And all that shit. Yeah. And then 2014, that nigga Bryson Tiller dropped Trap Soul, and we was like, it begins. Like, we knew, like, oh, man, this is the sound. Like, this is what we... His sound was a little darker, because, you know, but it was the Trap Soul, but it was R&B, and we was just like, damn... I didn't have a voice on to Timbaland to be like, yo, bro, you're crazy. This is crazy.
Right. You fuck around and got kicked out of the studio.
Yeah. You know, so, and we didn't just talk like that. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't want to, like, say that, but I was just like, this is, yo, this song is going to go. Yeah, I heard it. And so I remember when we went back to Missy House and we went to Jersey to stay with Missy, and I was like, Missy, I'm working on my album. And she was just like, you need to let Tim hear this. Because she was like, I think this will help Timbaland get his stride back with R&B. She heard something in it. So I played a few songs for Timbaland, and that was when he started working on 2020 Vision with Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I really do feel like we helped influence Timbaland to do some R&B on that 2020 Vision. Cause like, I remember he was just like, yo, this is crazy. He flew us to LA to work, and we had a room. He gave us a room.
Come on, man.
That was beautiful. I was all you need is a room.
Yeah.
Nobody came in there. We had a room. I remember I saw James Fauntleroy for the first time. I was like, Sensei. I always called him Sensei, and he came in and showed love. But like, we had a room in the back, and we was just like, oh, we here. Like, we got our room. Tiana Taylor, that was the first artist I worked with. That was my first artist I actually worked with, was Tiana. And we did a song, man. Monster, bro.
Monster.
And I felt like Tiana, she was underrated. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got in with her and we did a few songs, and I was like, yo, this is it. And yeah, it was just one of those moments where just like, I was around all of these people, like Justin Timberlake in the studio when he's doing 2020 Vision. I'm just like in the room. If I felt like Lil Michael, like, what is that? What are you doing? Like, it was really one of those moments where I was just like, I'm ready. Put me in. I wish one of these niggas would be like, Jazzy, what you got? Nobody was like, I was just like, yo, y'all, hello? It was the weirdest. I remember a few times I probably like definitely like cry, you know what I'm saying? Cause I was just like,
you wanted it.
What is, like, nobody's calling my name.
Yeah.
And Polo the Dunn, he hit me up. Cause I was kind of getting fed up over the Timberlands. I was like, y'all niggas ain't, y'all ain't pouring into me like I think y'all should.
Mm-hmm.
And Polo was like, yo. He's like, yo, come to Orlando. He got a Johnny Wright studio, that big compound. Yeah. And Polo saw it. Polo was like, yo, let me manage you. And I did Monica's whole first album. Whole last album, Cold Red. I wrote that.
And the entire album.
Damn near, I had like six songs on that album.
Mm.
And six. I did her single with Lil Wayne.
I can hear Polo right now. She's shit.
She write like 15 songs an hour.
That's how you talk. But Polo.
Now he identifies talent. And has been doing that for years. Polo has that gift.
They don't give him credit for his mind.
Absolutely not.
Or his drums.
That nigga's his, cold. His, and he's been cold.
I say he knows this shit.
Yeah.
He knows this shit, and he knows this shit.
Bro. He brought back like Black Country. Now everybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Niggas diving in over there.
Yeah.
That nigga.
I remember that nigga called me. I got one. Kane Brown, nigga.
Kane, for sure.
Nigga, I was around. He about to take over the world, nigga.
Yeah, that's it, for sure. Like that was when I got my money. That was when I kind of, you know what I'm saying, got.
Real opportunity.
My opportunity, you know what I'm saying, a horrible pub deal. We ain't gonna talk about that. Why not
talk about it? We've all been there.
It happens.
Yeah, I mean,
but so you know what I'm saying?
Did you get more than 75 I got?
No, I did get more than that, but like,
then I guess I'm the low.
Hell no. You did right. I wish I would have, because the pub deal
did you have an MDRC?
Yes.
What was it?
The pub deal was
MDRC.
And it's still, oh my God. So the shit is, y'all ready for this, y'all?
Yeah.
All right. I got the pub deal in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
When did Kanye come out with the album? When the cover just didn't have no joints on it.
Yeah, it was blank.
What was that? What album was that?
Just a couple years ago.
That was like 20 what? Yeah, the Yeezys album. When you dropped that, bro? 2016.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Boom. All right, I got the contract 2015, towards the end of 2016. Kanye's a genius because he already knew that albums were about to be done. He knew that the streaming world was about to come crazy. The MDR, the deal I was in said that no songs, only one song counted, but they all had to be on a CD, on an album. Albums are extinct. They about to be extinct in 2016, bro. So that means anything that I did that was just going to go on streaming platforms was not going to be counted. So I was going to be in this bitch forever, my whole life.
How many songs, though?
Bro, it was like 7 songs.
Oof.
Full song.
Full, yes, bro. Like, bro,
So that's 14. I mean, that's 14 off the top line.
If you write the whole.
If you co-write the top line, now we're talking about 21, 28. The numbers keep going up.
But at first it sounded cool.
Because you only heard 7.
And not only that, I didn't know the album.
You figured you could get it all done in one album.
Not only that, though. Yeah, but not only that, it was a lot of shit going on with the lawyer. It was bad. I got swindled bad. But that's when I learned a lot of shit from that. So, you know what I'm saying? We ain't going to go too crazy, but I learned a lot.
So you feel like your lawyer wasn't?
My lawyer my lawyer was given to me by somebody else that wasn't my lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say that, you know what I'm saying?
They didn't have your best interest.
They had my best interest, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, like, I worked so hard. I was like, that's cool. But that's the thing. I thought it was going to be on. I didn't know the album part. Like, I didn't know that just had to be.
You couldn't have known that because that's predicting the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And nobody knew that the future was going to be that crazy.
Like, I mean, except for the people.
They knew
except
that
for the
shit.
People who knew on the other side.
The people on the other side knew.
So we saw iTunes and we're like, okay, iTunes, now we separating songs. Yeah. Now you can get a song without getting the full
none
album.
Of this,
okay, this
honestly,
is
none
up.
Of this shit is a surprise. Right. No accident. It's all by design.
But the people writing the contracts.
Right.
They knew, bro. Right. They
but
knew.
But you could. What I'm saying is that you couldn't have known.
Yeah, and nobody told me. She's like, "This is a great contract. You should do it. We go do it." And you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, "Okay, cool. I needed some money.
And you
when
you're
desperate, that's what happens. When you're desperate, and that's why you never be desperate for money. Just sit down and just don't go out. Just sit your ass down and eat some money.
Or you figure out your way to work through the desperation, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you are desperate, if you do need that money, then sometimes there's a bullet that you just have to bite in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, I'm going to be patient and work through this, and I'm just going to do bigger and better on the other side.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, because most people that complain about the bad deal never did nothing beyond that deal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, you're not complaining about that deal. You're just like, it was fucked up.
Yeah.
I made it through it. Most of the people that be jumping and hollering about, man, they fucked me over and I would never, because they never did anything else.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because the more you do, the less you think about the sacrifices that you had to make to get to the spot that you're in.
Talk about it.
And some people really get jaded and really mentally, I've known people who really have lost their minds.
Yeah.
Like, I've lost their minds because niggas have played with their money. You know what I'm saying?
In essence, it's playing with their life.
Playing with their life on God.
I tell people all the time, though. Whenever, you know, because I've had those conversations with a lot of those same type people, maybe the same people, where I tell them, though, I said, don't ever get it confused. That contract will not outlast your talent.
Yeah. That sound good.
But it's really the truth, though. It's really the truth. Honestly, you're going to go through the shit, and yes, it's going to get tough. But if you really got it,
Yeah, real shit.
That shit, and especially as you start putting up numbers, then there's this thing called renegotiation.
Yeah.
Ugh. And reversion.
And reversion.
You know what I mean? All the re's.
All the re's.
You know what I mean? Like, that is really what this business is about, because think about all the deals that people have done with artists, with writers, with producers that never materialized and they never got that money back. Imagine being on that side of the business.
Yeah, because
I've been on that side of the business.
Mm-hmm. Spent bags.
I've spent bags on some shit that I just believed in.
Yep.
Nothing.
Nothing ever came back.
And been accused of not being supportive.
Yeah.
When the bag was spent. You know what I mean? So
there's two ways.
Yeah. This R&B money thing.
Yeah.
We give you both sides of what this business truly is.
And me stepping into the publishing, and I understand, like, there's two sides.
Hell yeah.
Listen, I have three albums. 1, 2, 3. Voice of Nature, One Man, Sex, Love, and Pain. Ask me how many statements I've seen.
I already know. How many statements? I bet you like 1, 2, none.
None. 1, 2, none.
I can believe that though.
1, 2, none.
Ask me how many artist royalties I've ever received from those three albums. Not a dime.
That's crazy, bro. That's crazy.
Par for the course.
Win-win.
That's
if I wallow in that, if I lay in that and let that be the end of me, we never get to win.
No, but 100%. But I'm sorry, bro. The industry is, that's sick. I just think people deserve, like, things should be fair. I think it should be some type of failure.
Let me tell you what the problem is, and we don't have to go too far into it, but artists don't have unions.
I know.
We don't have a governing or a protective body over us.
Yeah, no.
It's designed to take advantage of us.
Yeah.
The entire business. I don't care if you're black, white, whatever you are.
Yeah.
This entire business is designed to take advantage of you until you know better to do better. Now, what is great about it is that one moment can change every motherfucking thing.
Right.
One record?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. My record can change.
Imagine being able to be able to live your life and make money off of one game winner. Think about that.
Yeah. Think about one game winner.
One game winner. Nigga got lucky and hit one.
Yeah.
Now you real dancing talk. And singing this motherfucker all over the world for the rest of your life.
Rest of your life.
Yeah. That's the thing about this.
That
industry.
Is the flip in music, man. You can hit the lottery any day you wake up in this shit.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
Yeah.
You can hit the lottery.
Not as sure. I've definitely hit the lottery.
Yeah, you hit the lottery. Let's talk about the lottery.
Because first, let's go to...
Get to it.
What's your first placement? And what's your first... was it DeMonica stuff?
My first placement was Monica, Baby, 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 Just Right For Me with Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that. And I did Fergie MILF Money.
Oh, shit.
I didn't know that. I wrote that. Yeah. That was like... That was like one of my first big placements I did with Polo.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it. And then literally, I get a call from my boy, Business Boy, who's one of my favorite producers.
Yeah.
He linked me
Business Boy is dope. Yeah,
from the mill.
Yeah, shout out to Biz.
He did my next single.
He's incredible.
Fire.
Shout out to Biz. Yeah, but literally, that's my bro. And like, he hit me, he gave this guy my number, Andy Steinway, who became my manager. He came from the publishing world, and he called me. He was like, "Yo, I know you in Miami. I can't really help do nothing for you in Miami."
Oh, you still living in Miami at this time? Okay.
Mm-hmm. He was like, "If you come to LA, like we can work." I was like, "I got so many sessions. I started working with a whole bunch of like rap. Like this was around the time Extentacion was popping, and like the whole Miami was lit. Like I'm talking about." all those artists was at my boy's studio. We was in Brickell at the top. It was like 20 guns on the table.
Yeah. He was back at the trap house.
Yeah, but in Miami.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
More but, luxurious trap house.
Yeah, so like I'm talking about Jimmy Duvall, who was an amazing producer. He did Look at Me for XXXTentacion.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So like we all, like this was our whole crew. Like we was there and I was just getting money.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I get a call. This was actually, I'm a little sick. And I think there was COVID before we knew what COVID was, bro. I was sick as a dog. Mm-hmm. I'm laying in bed. My manager hit me up, was like, yo, you wanna work with this new artist, Lil Nas X? And I'm like, and he was like, Billy Ray Cyrus. I was like, hell yeah, let's go. And I was like, he was like, they want you to work on this song. And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm sick, but when? Tomorrow. I'm like, fuck, I'm sick. But I was like, fuck it, I'm going to this session. Like, some just was like, you got to do this session. Yeah. And so literally I go to the session and they tell me the story about this song, how this is how they do black people, so fucked up. They took Lil Nas' song, X song, which is Old Town Road, mm-hmm. off the country charts because they right. said it wasn't country. Okay, so, yeah. mm-hmm. But it was because he was black. Absolutely. We all know what it really was, right? So they did this. So now Billy Ray is telling me the whole story about what happened with Achy Breaky Heart. I didn't know about Achy Breaky Heart. I just know Billy Ray Cyrus from Miley Hannah Montana right. and Miley right. Cyrus. Right. I used to love Hannah Montana. And my mama, you know, she think he a good-looking white guy. I used to always hear that. He's good-looking, you know what I'm saying? That was just one of the things in the house. So, boom. So, he's telling me, you know, that the song actually was number two. They would not let Achy Breaky Heart go to number one. And they took it out the country charts, too. They did the boy dirty. They did him dirty, too. So, he was like, I felt so bad. I was like, damn, bro, the game is so crazy. So I was just like, it's just like, we're like underdogs. Mm-hmm. It was like the underdogs of this shit. And so literally I got an opportunity to be a part of one of the biggest songs in the world. And
Ever, bro.
Ever.
I was like, ever.
And then after that, shit just started going like, it was just, I was on a
before
roll.
You go to that. What are the numbers on that record at this point? Do you even know?
Golly, I don't even know. You see, that must be the numbers right here.
Look at the numbers.
Absolutely past.
DeForest, look at the numbers for me, bro.
Absolutely past Diamond.
It's like 15 times, 16 times. It's 15 times Diamond. It's like 15. 18 now?
18.
Yeah.
Million.
Isn't it crazy? It's just crazy, bro. It's crazy, bro. And like, Airbnb just like we're constantly getting syncs on. It's that just. And I remember I was at Coachella when it hit number one, and that shit was when I felt like that nigga. I was, bro. Like,
yeah,
was like,
she just popped her collar.
It was crazy. That shit was so crazy. Coachella with a number one, like
everybody
niggas
wants
is
to
on
talk.
Your ass, bro.
Everybody wants.
Yeah.
I never felt that shit, and I didn't like it after a minute. I was like, all right, now these niggas, it was crazy.
It's just what it is what I tell people. When you hot,
bro,
enjoy being hot.
Bro, I realized, I don't really check, I'm not a chart checker. I don't care about the charts. But now that, when I had Old Town Road, I realized like songs really only last like 1 week on number one.
Yeah,
usually. And you don't. Bro, that shit was 19 weeks, number one. So like after the third week, you're not taking it in. I wasn't processing it. Like it just, I wish I could have bottled that feeling in. Cause like after the 16th, we was like, what the fuck is going? Like we was number one for 19 weeks.
Yeah.
That was the craziest shit in the world. And like, it made me realize like, damn, pop world is different. The pop world is just a different beast. But I was also scared of the pop world because I didn't want to be that. I knew that I was so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be caught up into, I didn't want that, what you said, a one-hit wonder. I was scared of being a one-hit wonder. That song was too big. Yeah. And for some people, a song can be bigger than the person and the artist is like, can't come back from it. You know what I'm saying? So, and then Lemonade came with Don Toliver and Nav.
Zanny Ball.
Zanny, yeah.
Yeah.
That song came.
That shit jamming.
And it brought, and it's, and
did that you write
shit
that hook?
Yeah. I wrote that joint. And literally, that hit top 10 Billboard charts. So that was like hit number five, number two, I think.
And it's funny, when you mention that song, I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. I damn near feel like you freestyled that.
Man, it was like definitely a freestyle.
Because the way you sing, I just know the way you sing, like you just, like not having those barriers, you're
like
so
Missy,
free
no barriers.
With how you write and how you flow melodically. I just be like.
Yes, bro, no barriers. No, and
you
I think
miss
that was
what you never had.
Can't miss what you never had. You can't bag my bitch. You can't miss what you never had. Like, yeah. But literally, that was that. And then, boom, Mr. Right Now, COVID hit. And I thought I was going to have a hit with 21 Savage and Drake. And I missed the Right Now with Metro Boomin. Me and my boy Tate, Cobain did that. And I was like, this is going to be the biggest song. And then COVID hit and it didn't do what it was supposed to do. But culturally, it was a big song. Mm-hmm. But like, that shit should have been on the charts. Like, I know that, like, if it was no COVID, if niggas was outside, Mr. Right Now would have been that joint. And after that, everything just started going. And then Summer Walker, Body, and then...
You can't just breeze over that.
Though. It just started going crazy. You can't just breeze
over that. That record is special.
Oh my gosh, it's so
that
good.
That record is special.
That and Jacquees, You, that was one of my favorite.
Should we go into this story?
What story? What y'all talking about?
No. So you don't even know this story.
Oh shit.
So Jacquees pulls up on us.
Oh word. Oh, I know. I like this.
Just, you know, just pull up. Just came and kicked it one time, right? Yeah. And, you know, niggas, you know, studio shit. And he's like, can I play this record for y'all? He's like, nigga, oh yeah. Nick passed him the ox. He plays that record and the studio stops. He plays You. The studio stops. And niggas was like, what the fuck is this, dog? And he's like, yeah, no, you know, we've been thinking about. I said, thinking?
We let that nigga have it.
He's like, this record's a smash for You.
Smash.
I said, you call Birdman. And you tell him,
yeah,
this is the single, this is the video, nigga, this is your foot.
In the door, right?
Nigga, this is Planet, nigga. Yeah. Nigga, you are here. That record?
Record.
Crazy.
Cold-blooded.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I rate records like if I'm mad. If I'm mad that I don't have the record,
right?
If I'm mad that I didn't write it, that I didn't produce it. I heard that record and I was like.
I really went through that. That happened to me. Like, I wrote that song in Miami with London on the track. And I was talking to this girl and Shawty was hell, bro. And she hit my keys. She hit my keys. So like when I say it was 2:30 in the morning, I got a call. It was literally 2:30 in the morning. Like. London, we work late in Miami, Hit Factory, niggas work late. He's like, yo, pull up to the studio. And I can't find my keys. She didn't want me to leave. I'm trying to get up out of there. And like, she just made it so hard for me to go to that session. I was like, Shawty, you like fucking my whole vibe up. Wrote that song because I'd rather be with you and all your bullshit. Like, I'm still with you. Like, I as soon as I got back home, we cuddled up. So it was just like, you know what I'm saying? So that song was really about Shawty. She know who it is. Every time she hear it, she be like, this my song. I'm like, you are crazy. Like, you happy that it's song about you? You happy that you brought me hell that day?
Everything about that song is right.
Nah, yeah, that's, thank you. To me, like, so and I've told you this, thank every you, time man. I see you, how much I love your work.
Thank you, bro.
That's my favorite song you've written that I've heard.
Thank you. That means a lot.
To this day.
That means a lot to me. I love that song.
To this day. I think Alone is close.
Thank
Alone
you.
Is close.
Thank you, bro.
No, so you know, God. I looked at my what the shit that they send you of like
the Spotify wrap up.
Your wrap ups of, you know, everybody, you know, you have it for all your platforms that you listen to. That record was at the top.
That's I love to hear Alone. That. I love to hear that.
I love that record. Thank but you, it's my that's my shit. That's
you
my shit.
Yeah, but I think everybody goes through that little moment, and that's what I love. I love writing songs that are personal, like. Personable, like you. I just feel like even when I write songs for CB, like I love when he sings when he's vulnerable.
He's untouchable.
But R&B should be vulnerable.
I want
vulnerable.
Him to be. Yeah, I want
when
you
he,
to be
when he's singing. When he's singing in a vulnerable. When
it's people, over.
He was in Paris at the show in Paris, and he sang when he sang "Please Don't Judge Me," and I'm sitting there like, am I about to cry? I gotta relax, bro. Like,
them the best songs,
because when he's in that space,
it's over. It's over.
And I'm watching the entire crowd, like,
yeah,
that's my son on stage. He's just, you know, his heart is good. His heart is good. He's just, you know,
yeah. No, real man. Talk. And that's why, like, Jacquees was. It was such a perfect song for him because it's like. You're being vulnerable, bro. Like, you're not trying to say fuck these hoes, fuck none of this. It's just like literally.
To me, that song established him as a true R&B artist.
Yeah, thank you. That means a lot.
Like it, and it's everything. I think, you know, it's those things where everything happens at the right time. Mm-hmm. You writing the melodies, all these things, but then his delivery.
beautiful.
He sounds impeccable on that record. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He sounds amazing on that record. Yeah. I say, yeah, you're exactly who you think you are.
Yeah, damn.
Now he's touring all over the place. And for me, I feel like the foundation is that record. Foundation is that record because late at night, okay, where you are, what you doing, that one right there.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be so crazy to me, like, that's why I feel like it's sometimes we need to have like OGs or like people around us who talk to be like, yo, you need to get back in the studio with Jazzy, or you and Jacquees need to get work back. You know, somebody who's in our ears to make that situation happen, because there was no way that we just did.
You just do one.
We just do one. And I always say that to him. I'm like, there's no way you could have used me anytime you want. I'm here. I've always extended myself to them. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, use me. Just don't misuse me. Use me, though. I'm here to be used. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And, like, it's just so crazy because, like, that's what this industry is. It's a service industry where we work, we make the hits. And the fact that we only caught lightning one time, and that was the only time we worked, is just so crazy that we should have definitely.
Yeah, like, y'all definitely got to get back.
Y'all definitely.
Should have definitely kept
Jacquees.
Yeah.
Y'all you and Jazzy need.
Yeah, come sure. on, Quee.
2-3 mo.
Come on, man.
You gotta do it. He sent me something to get on that I'm about to get on. And when I send it back, I'm saying, yeah. Also, Jazzy said,
we gotta get back in.
And we said, yes.
Gotta catch lightning again.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, for sure.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was! And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, We have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
But that's when you're really, really good. When you just make shoopy do a hook and sound good. Yeah. Like now you just cheating. Now you're cheating, flexing.
Yeah, everybody,
now
everybody else ain't
now you being disrespectful. You trying to get fucked up. Because everybody can't do that shit.
Oh, God. Everybody can't do it.
All right, Jazzy.
What the people been waiting for?
People been waiting for. In your journeys. We're studying this music thing. I know you've come across some tunes, some artists that have influenced you in a way that, that they've become your top five. Your top five. Top five.
Hey.
Jazzy's top five.
Saw Al Green at the end. What?
We gotta get this nigga a better piano, man.
That's the shit. Don't change this. Don't change this for nobody.
Y'all niggas should have clapped in the back of song. That shit was good. Oh my God.
Y'all gonna love the Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre.
Sex of chocolate. Sex of chocolate.
Jazzy, your top five R&B singers.
That is tough. That is tough.
Supposed to be tough.
Mm-hmm. All right. I thought you were gonna ask me the songwriters.
Yeah. No. I'm just no. We'll get there. We'll get there. Mm-hmm.
All right. 112. I'm Carl Thomas. I'm sorry.
Come on now.
Carl Thomas is my.
Come on now.
That's no. Carl Thomas is. I should get him tatted somewhere on me. I have like a thing of like all of my favorite, and I really would love to get Carl Thomas tatted on me somewhere because he's one of my favorite.
That's my guy.
I'm gonna go Sade.
Ah,
Sade's voice just cuts through too good, and I just love that her tonality. And
I met Sade.
What year was this?
I met her in Paris.
He didn't shoot his shot.
She's so bad.
Don't matter.
Bro.
It don't matter. I'm not gonna look at the nigga.
I was with Jamie Foxx.
He ain't gonna shoot. He ain't
I was with Jamie Foxx as a background singer.
I would have slid in her DMs afterwards.
Don't matter if you sing in background or not.
Once it listen.
I'm a lead singer if I'm talking to Sade.
Oh, big
bank say Lil Bank.
Ain't no bank.
I was broke.
Huh?
I didn't have the right words.
He wasn't on his
10-toe. You ain't got to have money with Sade.
Jamie Foxx was in there. The Oscar winner. Soaked up the room.
That's even more of a floss. I knocked Sade.
He soaked up the goddamn room.
That's the conversation, right? Yeah. You know, we was at this little thing, right? I knocked Sade. You know, Jamie was there, too. He tried, and I knocked her.
And I was slightly starstruck. Well, I was a lot starstruck. I didn't know what to say. But I said hi and gave her a hug.
You supposed to be from the Midwest.
Listen, man.
How was her energy when you said that? Don't
amazing.
She?
Oh, it was. She floated in.
Marvin Gaye.
Yes.
You better do it.
And the only
you better do it.
I hate to. Yeah, nah, Marvin Gaye, bro. Like, Here My Dear is my favorite album of Marvin Gaye's, and only because I loved, like, my pop used to always tell me the story.
The story behind it.
Yes. I'm just going to have to go with what I listen to all the time, and it's Stevie Wonder. I'm sorry, bro. Only because, like, because I know people probably expect me to say something else. Like,
no.
But, yeah.
If they know you, they get it.
Stevie, bro.
Your top five R&B songs.
Mm. God damn.
This shit ain't supposed to be easy.
Yeah. Top five R&B song. Mm-hmm. Number five, Curtis Mayfield, Sweet Exorcist.
Mm. Is that where you're going?
I think it has to be I'm the only one you need. All you have to be for why you had me. Mary J. Blige. I gave my heart to you. I love that song. Number five. Number three, Carl Thomas, I Wish. Sorry, I gotta go there. Number two, Stevie Wonder, Rocket Love.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Rocket Love is crazy. It's between Rocket Love or Visions. Visions is cold. I love Visions too, though.
Mm-hmm.
But and my number one song, damn, dog. My number one song. This is tough, cause you can't. I feel like I'm disrespecting my people that I love because I have so many great like songs, but I have to go.
Gotcha.
Can I do like a 1 and 1.5?
We'll let you do that.
All right.
We'll let you top six.
Osley Brothers Let Me Down Easy is one of my favorite R&B songs. Let Me Down Easy is, I play that shit like on my wrap up. I was laughing like because it plays in the background. I was like, damn, I'm old ass nigga, dog. Listen to this. Like, that's the song that it played. Like that shit was funny, dog. But, like, I just love old school. I love music like that. So, Let Me Down Easy and probably, can I say R. Kelly?
You can say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
R&B Money Podcast.
Yeah. R. Kelly. I Can't Breathe.
It's a very well written song.
Yeah, bro.
What else you got for us?
I ain't saying no names.
Hey.
I ain't saying no names.
Yeah.
I ain't saying no names. I ain't saying no names. Where I was. Who you was with. What you did. Don't say shit. I ain't saying no names. Yeah.
I got too many stories.
Hey, come on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So listen. It's you here.
Mm-hmm.
You are at the R&B Money Podcast, and we are at that section. We're at that segment of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, you watched it. You watched the podcast.
Yeah, definitely know.
You know, this is the I ain't saying no names segment of the show. Where you tell us your story, funny or fucked up, or funny and fucked up. In the travels, in the journey of Jazzy.
No names. Right?
That's the only rule to the game. Ain't no other rules to the game. Just don't say no names.
Boy, I got so many stories. A couple
niggas told us two or three. You know what I mean?
No, I'm going to give you one. I got to give you the best one, though.
Okay.
Goodness gracious. I don't know why I didn't think of this when I was driving. Like, So. I want to tell the story. Fuck it. So literally, it was this producer I was working with, big producer. He was in Miami, and I don't know why he had. We was working, and he just felt obligated to tell me that he didn't like his girl messing with girls, and he was like, "I don't like." He was like, "I don't like." I don't like gay girls around my girl and shit. Like,
okay.
I was like, bro, all right. So now this is my first time meeting this nigga, like working with him. So I'm like, now I'm scared because I'm a gay girl. I'm like, yo, not scared in a sense like he gonna,
no,
but I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, I don't want him to feel like, I don't even want this nigga to feel like I'm trying to talk to his girl.
Right. Was his girl
None
there?
None of that shit. Boom, here we go.
Okay.
So, I get in the studio, we walk in the room. Now, we outside, like, playing ball, and he's telling me this shit. And, like, you know what I'm saying? I think he's preparing me for when his girl come. I don't know what he doing, but I'm like, this is so weird. This is a weird conversation. So, get in the studio, and his girl come in. Girl, bad. I remember this shit. And I was just trying to stay far away from her. Because the whole time I'm in my head, I hear this nigga say, like, I just don't like my girl when she, like, that's, she. He's kind of against it. And, you know, most niggas is really cool with, like, girls on girls and all that shit. But I just think he just let me know right there his insecurity. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. So, cool. I'm like, literally, I'm on the other side of the table. For some reason, this girl is just wants to talk to me. No, I'm talking about wants to have a conversation. And I'm like, yeah. And like, I'm back on my phone. And like, she's like, he's making the beat. And I can just tell he's paying attention. Like, Si.
Watching you, buddy.
And I'm just so scared. And she's like, come here. It's like, I'm over there. So I sit. But like, That moment,
worse.
Oh, bro, yeah, she was trying it. And I was just thinking to myself, yo, this girl is not his girl. And he's just like, yo, I'm trying to get her, so don't touch her. You know what I'm saying?
Or he already know what she on.
So, bro, the whole session, bro, I'm telling you, I've never been so, and that was like my first, like, that was like a crazy, bro. Yeah, and so it was, that was a crazy moment. And literally I ain't gonna talk about what else happened, but yeah, that was just.
What you mean? What you mean?
Nothing. It was just the girl, she was on it. Mm-hmm. She was on it, bro. And so now I get it, but like, he didn't say anything, but I remember it's just that moment. And if I told you the producer was it, you'd be like, oh, word. It was just crazy. Like,
Okay. The question you don't have to answer, but I'm just saying that.
No, I'm not going.
Did she, you know, slide in your DM?
She definitely did.
You know,
bro.
The girl.
Definitely. Right. I didn't do nothing with her, not at all. Nah, like, definitely. I don't mess with niggas' girls at all. I don't give a fuck if I see you with her. Nah.
And that was just a moral judgment call on your part.
Yeah, I'm not about to. Nah, because, like, this industry is so small, and niggas do that, and niggas really love that shit. I, on the other hand, I'm very big on, like, I respect whatever that shit, whatever. And then to her, it may not be that serious, but to him, it's serious.
As a mother.
Or to her, it's serious, and to him, it's not that serious. You know what I'm saying? So I don't play with that. But I just, now I get, like, I was like, oh, Shotty was, like, choosing up, and he just, but no, nah, I didn't. Mm-mm. It's too many girls.
She definitely.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro.
To holler at the job. What it you was, come over here?
Nah, it was. What she was like,
you like this?
I
don't want to do it.
I don't want to. Like, don't even want to sit. I don't even want to talk to you for a long time.
I don't even want to.
Bro, but you know what? I told myself no nigga would ever make me feel like that again in a session. Like, I learned from that. Like, if you insecure, nigga, that's your problem. But you not gonna get me out of my zone to talk to nobody in the room, because I'm not coming with no ill intentions.
Right.
Like, I wasn't coming on it, but I was really scared to even talk to the girl. But that just show you I was young and I was green to, like, the energies, you know what I'm saying? But like now I'm like walking in my truth, and you just got to understand I ain't on that tight time. You know what I'm saying? But that was crazy, bro. That shit was such a, I was sweating like, yo, this nigga gonna really not fuck with me. You know
he
what I'm saying?
He came out the gate with it.
Yeah, out the gate. Like, he was like, he was warming me up. Like, that's right, like, so we going to session.
It's like a wild thing.
He knew what it was.
Nah, it was so crazy. Like, the insecurity of this dude. And I be seeing him to this day, and I always remember that session.
He's like, my girl gonna see her and go crazy. Gotta nip this in the bud. Early.
Yo, that's sad. Cause like
he knew you had it on you.
That's crazy. Nah, it was crazy. And I wasn't even like that then, dog. That shit was crazy.
Well, Jazzy, listen, man.
I heard that, man.
We love you up here.
Love you, man.
You really are Hustle and Flow.
Yeah.
For sure.
We love you, man.
That's hilarious.
You have access.
Thank
you. Free reign.
Thank you, bro.
You have support. You got brothers. You got whatever you need.
Thank you, fam. I appreciate it. Thank you for
sure. And, you know, The only rule is you must keep going.
Yeah. I see that.
You That's must keep going.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Capable hands. That's what we need.
Yeah. Thank you. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's get go. To it. Thank you.
My name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B. Hits, swag, leader of the new school. Give it up for Jazzy.
Yeah.
R&B Money.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/R&B Money.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.